talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. She's a little warm out there right now. If you hadn't noticed, 93 degrees, heat index is at 93, humidity's at 34 and dropping. So winds are out of the south at 23 with wind gust up to 31. Let's check out some area temperatures if you want to. All right, let's see here. Looks like Hollis, 95. Mangum's 95. Altus looks like it's the hot spot at 97. Fort Cobb, you're at 94. Putnam's 91. Camargo, you're 96. And let's go back one more step here. Here we go. Let's check out the wind chills. The wind chills in Cheyenne's at 90. Heat index is at 90. Anyway, the Hollis 95, it's just hot. It's hot and humid. Now, that was a hot weekend we had this weekend. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Get some tournaments and baseball and stuff around our local area. Got canceled yesterday because of the heat, and it was hot for having those kids out there. I drank 2 gallons of water, I know, at least yesterday, a couple Powerades, and there might or might not have been a few beers involved, and I was still dehydrated. And don't be texting in it was the beer, because I drank a lot of water before the beer. Anyway, she was just warm. But man, is the okra and the corn in the garden getting after it. You guys need to watch your gardens real careful over the next, looks like according to Gary McManus with the Oklahoma Mesonet, looks like this a dome has set in right over the whole state of Oklahoma, and it's going to be this way for anywhere from a week to 2 weeks. Notice lots of alfalfa got cut down over the weekend. Good looking hay out there too, all over wherever I went. And went down to, after that last little shower down in Greer County, to my place down there west of Willow, and I got some water in the ponds. They're not full by no means, but I got water in the ponds. The cows were looking fat and sassy and slick, but the flies were right there with them, and I tried out a recipe. I'll tell you about it. Learned about it on, from a lady at Arnett, and I took one bottle of pine sol. Got half a bottle, about 8-10 ounces of Dawn dishwasher soap. I got the blue, not the green. And a little bit of that fly spray that I got from Atwoods here, or Tractor Supply. I got it from one of the two places. And mixed that in with 1 gallon of vinegar in a 2 gallon sprayer. Topped it off with water and sprayed it Saturday morning. And this morning, the flies are still gone. Easy to spray. I got the calves. I got everything. It worked out really, really good. So anyway, it's like anything else. As long as it doesn't rain, it'll stay on. But I've been waiting on some stuff that I ordered to put in my minerals. Until there, those flies were mineral. They didn't like me spraying them, but I'm pretty sure they were still standing out from underneath the shade when I left. Normally, they're under there swatting flies. So it worked out pretty good. Our text line is open at 580-225-9697. We're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KCOFM.com. Let's check out some markets real quick. Everything except for oil is in the red today. Live cattle, June, 134.05. August, 133.82. October, 139.85. December, 145.75. Feeder cattle, August, 171.02. Feeder cattle for September, 173.30. Lean hogs, 108.07. July 104, 97. August 102, 67. Cotton is down slightly, but it's still hanging in there at $1.45 on the futures market for July. And where's sugar? Sugar's way down. Man, Brian, your market is crashing. Not really. It's at 18 cents a pound. Let's check out the live cat or live grain markets. See what's happening there. Let me make sure they're updated real good. There we go. Hard red winter wheat, $10.95. Corn's at $8.01. Milo's at $7.57. Soybeans is at $16.34. Well, let's see what's causing all the commotion in the world. While the hot weather and the extended forecast is a positive for prices, the meltdown in the global stock market is viewed as negative, especially for soybeans. In the U.S. Globex grain markets at this hour, corn futures are 1 cent higher, soybean futures are down 19 cents, and wheat futures are trading 9 to 10 cents higher. On the Dalian Commodity Exchange in China, corn futures are 1 cent higher at $11. Soybean futures are 2 cents lower at $26.10. On a Medif Exchange in Europe, wheat futures are 14 cents a bushel higher at $13 even. In overnight markets, the trading range for July corn is 12 cents, with the last trade showing corn up 1 penny at $7.74. The trading range for July soybeans is 35 cents. The last trade shows soybeans down 19 cents at $17.26. Chicago wheat is up 9 cents. Kansas City wheat futures are up 9 cents. And Minneapolis wheat is up 10 cents. He says, I'm watching the U.S. and global stock markets. For the Dow, the key level of support is low from May 20th at 30,935. S&P 500 is at 3807, closing below support and at the new lows for the year would be viewed as negative for the stock market and the entire commodity complex. A recession results in reduced demand, he said. Well, according to the World Crop Production, the report pegged the 2021 Brazilian soybean production at 126 million metric tons versus the USDA's estimate last month of 125. And trade expectation is at 124.8 million metric tons. For corn, Brazil's output is seen at 116 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 114.6 million metric tons. The soybean crop in Argentina was pegged at 43.4 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 42.2. Argentina's 2020-21 corn crop is pegged at 53 million metric tons versus the trade expectation of 52.2 million tons. In its June 10th report, the USDA pegged the 2021-22 projected ending stocks for corn at 1.485 billion bushels versus their estimate at 1.438. Not too far off, about a half a billion. The ending stocks for soybeans was 205 million bushels versus the trade expectation of 217 million bushels. The USDA had the U.S. wheat ending stocks at 655 million bushels versus the trade's expectation of 661 million bushels. 22-23 U.S. ending stocks for corn. USDA pegged the 22-23 projection ending stocks at 1.4 billion bushels. The trade estimate was at 1.337 billion bushels. For soybeans, the ending stock was 280 million versus 295. The wheat ending stocks were 627 million bushels versus the trade expectation at 622 million. In the 22-23 world ending stocks, last but not least, on Friday, the USDA pegged the world's corn ending stocks at 310.4 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 305 million metric tons. For soybeans, the world's ending stocks are estimated at 100.5 million metric tons versus the trade expectation at 99.8 million metric tons. For wheat, the world's ending stocks was at 266.9 million metric tons versus the trade's expectation of 267.6 million metric tons. Not too far off. Heat warnings all across the United States. While a strong Pacific cold front is bringing cooler temperatures into the southwest today, the heat will expand across the central and eastern United States, looking for record-breaking temperatures to extend north into the central plains and east from the middle of the Mississippi Valley to the Carolinas. As the front moves through the west on Tuesday, temperatures will become more tolerable across the plains. However, the heat will continue to build ahead of the front, with temperatures well above normal from the Midwest to the Carolinas. And that heat dome is, I think after today, I think we're supposed to get down, back down in the double digits. We're still going to be in the 90s. So it's going to be a hot week. When I come back, I got some good news to tell you guys about some things that happened this weekend in Stillwater. Mr. Keith Schneeberger, he went there for school to help with the school and come back with some awards. I'm going to tell you about that. And I'm going to talk about some fencing laws. I got the Texas-Oklahoma feedlot reports, not feedlot, but actually sale barn receipts. And Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on right now. A friendly reminder, if you plan on selling some cattle in the next few weeks, Elk City Livestock Auction will be closed July 1st. It's coming up in a couple weeks. There's a couple sales left before the holidays. And then Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be closed Monday, July 4th. So if you got cattle you're planning on selling, don't mess around. Get them in there either this week or next, because the following week there will not be a sale at Elk City or at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
We strive in our cow herd for high-efficiency cattle. We want lots of gain with low input. That's what we strive for. We want our customers to be able to wean the biggest calf without putting much money into that. We try to prove that through our commercial herd, and then if they prove themselves there, then we make them registered, and we chase those bloodlines. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
94 degrees. Heat index is at 94. Humidity is at 34. The winds are out of the south at 21 miles an hour with wind gust up to 30. Big shout out, big congratulations goes out to Mason Tucker. What a man, he got it on. He went up to the Kansas State Shoot Handicap Championship. He came back the non-resident champion, shooting 99 out of 100. And his mom and dad are very proud. He also shot 75 of those straight before he probably had the one miss, I'm guessing. And got some new friends from Nebraska to shoot with in the future. And like I said, congratulations to Mason Tucker. 99 out of 100, the Kansas State non-resident champion. He's a champion. Let me find this deal on... Well, I lost it. Bear with me here a second. I got to go back and find my deal I was going to brag on Keith Schneeberger. I had it up here, and I lost it. Here we go. I'm getting there. I'm almost there. Hang on. Well, I guess I'm going to go back and find it during the break because it's completely gone now. I don't know if I was going to talk about it and he deleted it, but I'll get back to that shortly. Sorry about that. Anyway, fencing laws. Before you put up a fence or take one down, first check your state laws. Now, I have seen some action in Oklahoma where somebody has bought some land or even owned some land for 10 or 20 years. There was an old existing fence blown up, tore down, or whatever. New landowner or existing landowner went in there and had the place survey, and he was missing some land, so he's going to build a fence over there. Seen a few instances here, probably about in the last 4 or 5 years, where they had to get the sheriff out there. People are just fanatics about the existing fence lines, and used to, that's what they used to go off of. But nowadays, they do all this survey and stuff, and so, but anyway, Carl Sandburg once wrote, "Love your neighbor as yourself, but don't take down the fence. Specific boundary lines and other fencing issues can create rifts with your land encroaches on someone else's, or theirs encroaches on yours." Rusty Rumlin is a senior staff attorney for the National Agriculture Law Center. He says, anytime you can work out an agreement with an adjacent landowner, it's much cheaper than going through litigation. Yet sometimes the neighbors aren't so friendly, and I've seen some of that. Most states have a quiet title, a process they can use to set the boundaries. It's not something that landowners can do by themselves. They're going to have to work with an attorney to help them through the process, says Rumley. Some states have the mechanism for how it's performed. In other states, it's not quite laid out so nicely in their laws. Rumley says that when most states enter the union, fencing laws were generally one of the first statutes written into a state code. In the eastern states particularly, you'll find provisions that you can use stone walls or even hedgerows as legal fences. The rules may be far different in other places. Some states have very specific requirements down to the smallest of details. What kind of wire, how many barbs it has on it, what gauge of wire it has to be, the distance between the fence posts, the number of wires, proper height, etc. These things can actually vary quite a bit depending on the state, Rumley says. Quite a few states, especially if you're in the western half of the United States, go through and spell out in their state codes exactly what constitutes a legal fence. Some states also have specific fencing requirements for different species of livestock. Well, anyway, it gets pretty touchy, and I know everybody's had their little bit of experience with that. My place down there in Willow, the section lines are in that section are at an angle. I don't know if they had to correct, did they get off or somewhere, but if you look on a legal map across the road where the angle comes one direction, it's going into my land. If you look over there across the road, there's a little strip about 20, 30 foot wide on the other side of the road that supposedly belongs to me. And I don't know how many cattle I can run on a thing that's about quarter mile long and starts at a piece of pie, a foot wide, and ends up 10 foot at the other end. But I'm not going to mess with it. Nobody will. I wouldn't think. Common sense. It costs more to fence it off than it would with the properties worth out. But I'm sure people have got into some crazy stuff, especially when you get on rivers, when you got river rights. And it gets kind of touchy down there. But hey, the law's the law. Most people abide by it, but there's always that one person. Well, for the first time since March of 2020, U.S. tractor and combine sales fell below the five-year average last month. Canadian sales were able to remain above the average, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. U.S. total farm sales fell off 14.5% in May compared to 2021. Self-propelled combine sales also dropped 315 units, so two sold, 12.7% lower than last year. For the third month in a row, the only sector that grew was the 100 plus horsepower two-well segment, which was up almost 14%. Mid-range tractors between 40 and 100 horsepower fell 16.4%, and the sub-40 horsepower segment was down 15.9%. Four-wheel drive tractors were down 30.4%. Both farm tractor and combine sales were down 14.2% year-to-date. Despite two-wheel drive units in the 40 to 100 horsepower and 100 horsepower plus ranges were up 21%, and four-wheel drive tractors was growing. Canadian unit sales fell off 11.3%. Total two-wheel drive unit sales were down 11.6%, which was due to the fall in sub-40 horsepower machines. Combine harvesters fell 28.4% to 78 units sold. Year-to-date, farmer tractor unit sales are down 8.65% in Canada, while harvesters are down 28.1%. Supply chain remains a primary issue in the ag equipment market right now, says Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President, Industry Sectors and Product Leadership of the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Another thing to keep in mind, especially when comparing numbers year over year, in 2021, sales were significantly above historic trends. And there you have it. And I'm going to say the harvester things, equipment was off quite a bit, not only because of supply chain deals, but most of the western United States in the wheat belt was under a drought. I didn't see anybody going out there buying a new machine just for the fun of it. So there you have it on that. When I come back, I'll have you a little weather update, and we'll talk some more about the cattle, the sales in Texas and Oklahoma, the Mesonet. We'll check out, not the Mesonet, but the U.S. Drought Monitor, talk about it a little bit. It has changed quite a bit. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 3rd. 473 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 501 brought 178. 3 at 547 brought 163. 4 at 555 brought 167. 8 at 616 brought 158. 8 at 956 brought 122.50. 5 head of heifers at 483 brought 152.50. 4 at 511 brought 157.50. 17 at 562 brought 160. 13 at 693 brought 151. 3 at 817 brought 138. Butcher cows were 61 to 95.50. Butcher bulls brought 76 to 115. Bred cows were 600 to 925. Pairs brought 1250 to 1810. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stockers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed. for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I found it. I found what I was looking for. I'm a dummy when it comes to tech. Anyway, Keith's Butcher Shop, they went up for the weekend, their old stomping grounds at Oklahoma State University for the annual Oklahoma-Texas Meat Processors Association Convention. Keith demonstrated pork fabrication for one of the conventional workshops, but he also brought home several cured meat awards. So listen up. Grand champion for meat snack sticks. Perfect score. Reserve grand champion for barbecue beef. Reserve grand champion for beef jerky. Man, I'm getting hungry reading this. Champion barbecue specialties. He was champion smoked turkey. Champion smoked hot links. Champion smoked sausage links. And you're right. Keith takes a lot of pride in his business, and they have a great group of dedicated employees. So anyway, he appreciates all the loyal customers for trusting us with their custom processing and retail needs. So congratulations, Keith, and thanks for what you do going up in there and helping with those workshops that you do. But Grand Champion Meat Snack Sticks, guess that's where I'm going after the show to get me some, go down there at their shop here on 7th Street and get me something. That was great. Congratulations, Keith. Let's get back to the weather here. Since nothing's changed, 94 degrees. Wind chill heat index is at 94. You guys know I'm messing with you, right? Humidity's at 33, slowly dropping. The winds are south-southwest. It's 24 with gusts up 32 now. Please take care of your gardens. This heat is hard on gardens. Yeah, the okra's eating it up. And the corn's eating it up as long as you're putting water on it. But anyway, there's a lot going on with your garden, so be careful out there. Also, just to FYI, down in Kiowa County, one of my favorite counties in Oklahoma, the Kiowa County Farm Bureau Membership Appreciation Cookout. They would like to invite you on Friday, June the 17th, which is coming up, for lunch from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. at the Kiowa County Farm Bureau office in Hobart. We will be giving out freebies and would love to have you. Not a Farm Bureau member? Do not worry. We can get you fixed up with a membership and a hamburger. Being a Farm Bureau member can save you some money on many things, and you do not have to have insurance to be a member. Some valuable savings are roadside assistance, discount hotel stays, new automobile cash rebates, home alarm security discounts, and so much more. So just show up there to their cookout this weekend, or this Friday actually, June 17th at 11 a.m. at the Kiowa County Farm Bureau office right there in Hobart. Check them out down there. All right, let's see. We got somebody on the text line. I can, if you'll wait till after the show. Somebody wants me to text him the fly solution. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, I don't know if you can text me back. I'll post a picture of it on Facebook as soon as the show's over. It worked out pretty good. It's not really pretty cheap. So, and I already had the sprayer, cleaned it up, put it in there, and the cattle didn't, some of the cattle didn't mind me spraying them on this morning. I sprayed some here by elk. The heifers we got over here, we sprayed them. I'm waiting on some minerals with some garlic coming in and mixed into it to help with the flies. Well, I got some, what do you want to call these? Clues to our future statements to make to you. Did you know the top 10 largest ports for shipping any agriculture product there's in the world, there's not one of them in close to the United States? Actually, seven of them are in China, one's in South Korea, one's in the Netherlands, and one's in Singapore. Anyway, the crazy thing that seven of these are the largest ports in the world, and they ship a lot of agricultural products and receive it. Well, let's see what else is going on. I read some really interesting ones. Let me focus through here. All right. There is no evidence of consolidation of farmland ownership even as farming operations grow. The number of tracts and owners still to be seems to be a appears to be virtually static. So you hear about Bill Gates did this, Bill Gates did that. You know, if you read in there, he's a drop in the bucket compared to a lot of big farming operations and small. And so there's no more or no less farmers going on right now than there ever was since they started keeping records. Another one, how much land is needed to power all the United States with solar panels? 14 million acres is what's needed, and that's about the size of Lake Michigan, or that's 1.5% of all farmland, or actually it's the same size as two-thirds of the CRP acreage actually in CRP right now. Let's see here, what else? Marriage rates are declining globally and faster in developed countries. Fertility rates are plummeting. Feeding the world will be an economic distribution problem, not quantity. And what else? Women are having fewer children. In the 1950s, it was on your average of children per person, per married couple, was almost five kids born in that family. Now it's down to 1.6. And it just been through 1970, starting in 1970, it started on a downhill slope, and it has come steadily down since then. So average in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was close to 5, and now it's right at, 1.7 to be exact. So there we got it. And yeah, I don't know about the state of Michigan. Somebody text in, but it shows on here this deal in the Farm Journal. It shows the size of Michigan Lake, Lake Michigan. And what else we got here? Oh, it says the shift from science to emotions, and I can see this. Animal welfare legislation might be an investing opportunity for early adopters. It appears California's egg consumption has not decreased even with the big price jump, 50 cents plus per dozen, which tops the cage-free renovation cost, which is 24 cents. From gluten-free to non-GMO, farmers have not won a battle against consumer biases. With a shift in trust from science to simple explanations, the public will struggle with ag technology even as producers embrace it. And there we go. Well, when I get back, I have the Hobart Farm and Long Ranger forecast. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 7th, we sold 1,079 cow calf kids. Thursday, June the 9th, we sold 2,023 kids and feeders for a total of 3,102 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 87 to 95. Thin cows bring 50 to 84. Bulls bring 90 to 119. Two-day-year-old bred cows, 1,175 to 1,500, with their two-day-year-old pairs, 1,285 to 1,800. Nine and older pairs, 1,360. 1535. Figure what some of them killing cows are bringing. Good time to change cows, guys. 3 to 4 weight steers, 185 to 221. 4 to 450, 205 to 209. 5 to 550, 183 to 188. 6 to 650, 178 to 179. 7 to 750, 161 to 169 and a half. 8 to 850, 153 to 158. 9 to 950, 148 and a half to 155. Our heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 180 to 188, 4 to 450, 170 to 190, 5 to 550, 164 to 174, 6 to 650, 151 to 165.50, 7 to 750, 140 up to 155.50, 8 to 850, 139 and a half to 150 and a quarter, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 131 to 138.75. Called most of our wholesale 3 to 8 higher instances, it'd be 12 higher on some of them 6 weight heifers where they top at 165 and a half. For this Tuesday, June the 13th, we're going to have a lot of red cows and pairs again with 5 loads coming out of the dry country. We have 30 red Angus red cows, Kevin in the fall, extremely nice 3 to 5 year old. We got 20 red model phase cows, same age, 3 to 5 years old, both fall calves. We got 10 6 and 7 year old bred cows. We got 40 pairs that are blacks, reds, and chars, 3 to 10 years old. We got 40 other pair 5 to 8 year old blacks, and we got 80 other pair 3 to 5 year old. Heavy bred cows, very nice selection, all out of the dry country, plus whatever we catch here. Give us a call. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Well, the heat index went up 1 degree, but the temperature is still at 94. Heat index is at 95. Humidity's at 34. Winds are out of the south at 23 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 28. Today, breezy, 100 for a high. Tonight, breezy, 76 for a low. Tomorrow, 96. Wednesday, 94. Thursday, 94. Friday starts getting hot again. Looks like probably after Wednesday night the winds are going to start coming down. So anyway, that's a good sign. A lot of wind between now and Wednesday night when it closes down. That's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Well, let's just check it out, and I will post that on Facebook, the that homemade remedy, because I'll read it to you one more time just so you'll know. Let me get back to it here. There we go. Okay. Pine Sol Original. 1 gallon of white vinegar. This is for a 2 gallon mix. 1 cup of Promethean. 1 bottle of Dawn Dish Soap Original, which I had the big bottle, so I only put half of it in there. And I used blue. Blue's a pretty color. Mix above in a 2 gallon hand sprayer. Bottle top off with the water. Top it all off with the water. I spray it all over them when they eat. Make sure you get their face. Flies will move to their heads and cause pink eye. Edit the Promethean only lasts one day, and that's per label on the bottle, and I did read that on my bottle. If it worked, people wouldn't be asking how to fix a fly problem. This mix lasts over a week to 10 days until it's washed off. It's worked well for us. Mix also works without the Promethean, the insecticide. It's the pine and vinegar scent that repels. Dawn makes it stick to the hide and the hair. And there you go. That's the mix. All right. The Texas-Oklahoma Weekly Livestock Auction Summaries is for June 10th. In Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold $4 to $8 higher. Demand was very good for yearling cattle, and the offering was sharp increases during the week on the CME Feeder Cattle Index. Scattered thunderstorms across the panhandle was a welcome sight, but temperatures will reach triple digits this weekend, and it did. Supply includes 77% for feeder cattle, 21% slaughter cattle, and 3% was for replacement cattle. Feeder cattle supply over 600 pounds was 57%. 4,327 cows or cattle, head of cattle, was sold through the Texas livestock barns last week. And that's compared to 4,400 the week before, 5,100 a year ago. Let's see what the steers were bringing in Texas. All right. Looks like 343 pounders were bringing up to 226. 371s was bringing up to 218. 426s brought 219. They were thin fleshed and had some 471s that brought up to 213 with a 205.19 average. 500 pounders. Let's check them out. Look pretty good. 514s or 520 pounders were a good deal. 196, 195, 600 pounders, 629s brought up to $1.76. Big load, 206, 783 pounders brought 159.75. Big shipment, 860 pounders brought $1.53. 900 pounders were bringing $1.51, 50, and then some of them in the 900 range. In the upper, close to 1,000 range, was bringing 139. All right, Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers $3 to $6 higher, steer calves $8 to $12 higher, heifers calves sold $4 to $7 higher, demand very good of all classes. Rains moved through the state once again last week, and this is helping improve drought status in most of the state. And yes, it has. This has been great, however, not so much for the wheat farmers. They continue to wait for pastures to dry to harvest. Currently, harvest is only 22% complete, and that was as of Friday. And I looked on the Oklahoma Wheat Commission page a while ago. They didn't have any reports out. They'll probably have them out tomorrow. Drying winds of the past would be great about right now. Slaughter cows sold $4 to $7 higher. Slaughter bulls $6 to $7 higher. Packer demand was good. Supply included 88% feeder cattle, then 10% slaughter cattle, and 2% replacement cattle. Last week, 28,336 head were sold through the sale barn, compared to 12,647 the week before. But this time last year, it smoked everything that we've been looking at. 37,502 head were sold a year ago last Friday, as of that week. Let's check out some prices here, mainly steers, or well, only steers. 94 head of steers weighing 326 was bringing up to 237 with a 214 average. Some 313 weights that were unweaned brought 219. Some thin flesh 355 weights brought 217.50. Some more unwings at 375 brought up to $1.99. And then they had a big old load of steers, 311 head to be exact, 431 pounds were their average weight. They brought up to 217 with 202.19 being the average price. When we come down here, there's another huge lot of 476-pounders brought up to 218 with 202.51 being the average price. Let's see if we can get some 500. Here we go. 518 brought up to 211. That was a 354-head lot there. Big, big bunch there. 534s brought up to $1.85. They were unwinged. 514s with value added brought up to 208. And then 530-head at average weight of 569 brought anywhere from $1.70 to 203 with $187.99 being the average price. So there you have it. My question, I got a question to ask you guys, and we only got about 8 or 9 minutes left on the show. If you're out there listening and you would text in, what do you think all these people, I know a lot of guys are culling cattle. They're older cows and all this stuff. But looks like you read these reports every week and the replacements being bought on the market that people know about. I know a lot of guys buy cattle from other people. But what do you guys think about this replacement or cattle or mama cow count going down? What do you think that's going to do? I mean, I know eventually it's going to catch up with us and it's going to drive the market up instead of giving $1,500 to $2,000 for a mom, a bred mom out there or a pair. I think by this fall myself, I think the pricing is going to be crazy just like it did back in 2015 after all the stuff we went through with the 2011 drought. A lot of culling went on. If you want to, give me your thoughts on that. All right, let's check out the drought map. Want to? In Oklahoma, it looks like everything west of I-35, basically, except for a few counties where Chickasha and El Reno's at and stuff, are in the D, is in a drought. Beckman County, Roger Mills, Southern Ellis, Harmon, Jackson, Greer, parts of Kiowa, parts of Washtenaw County are still in a D2, which is a severe drought. Even with all the rain we've been getting, my ponds are either just a third full or a half full. The grass is growing, I'm not complaining, but we need some more. But right up here in northern Dewey County and southern Woodward County and Major County, yep, they're still in a D3, and all the Oklahoma Panhandle is still in a D3 drought, with Cimarron County being in a D4 and a little bit of Beaver County. I think that's, is that Beaver? No, that's Texas. Texas County, they're still in a D4 drought, and it's changed quite a bit. Over here in the Texas Panhandle, let's check it out. My listeners over here in the eastern side of the county, basically the whole eastern half of the Texas Panhandle is in a D2, DO. There's actually some places that's in a DO, just barely dry. But it looks like Collinsworth County, Wheeler, Kemp Hill, you guys are all in a D1. But actually, let me back up. Collinsworth is in a D2. So anyway, out far west of there, still in a D4, D3, up there next to New Mexico, and a lot of the central Texas area is still in a D3 and a D4. We still need lots of rain to cover up, get that done. I got the Texas Direct Hay Report as of last Friday to give you guys a little heads up what's going on with hay out in the Texas Panhandle. Large squares, 3x4s, this is premium and supreme, anywhere from 340 to 380. Bermuda grass, small squares, 280 to 330 per ton. Bermuda grass premium, again, small squares, anywhere by the bales, $10 to $14 per bale. Bermuda grass, good to premium. For large rounds, anywhere from $120 to $160 a ton. Bermuda grass, good to premium. For large rounds, it can be anywhere from $60 to $80 per ton. I don't know what they're doing there, but I think they miscalculated that one. But Bermuda grass was good. It was good, not premium. Small squares, bringing anywhere from $233.5, $233.5. $275 per ton up to $275 per ton. Anyway, that's your direct hay report from the Texas Panhandle. All right, we got one more. Oh, here we go. The antitrust suit targets Big Four packers. And there's always something going on with the Big Four. You know, I know you guys get lots of emails and you follow stuff and you listen to RFD on Saturday mornings and all that stuff. But grocery retailer Giant Eagle filed an antitrust complaint against the Big Four beef packing companies in Chicago's U.S. District Court last Wednesday. Giant Eagle, operating about 470 stores in Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, Northern West Virginia, Maryland, and Indiana, alleges the large packing company exploited their market power by conspiring to limit the supply of beef sold to purchasers beginning as early as January of 2015. This ain't got nothing to do with the COVID, and continuing through the end of 2021. Giant Eagle contends those actions resulted in higher prices paid for by beef by a retailer and higher profits for the packers. Man, Giant Eagle's got a set on them if they're filing this against the Big Four, because when I worked out in West Virginia and Pennsylvania, Giant Eagle's like Homelands and all that stuff everywhere else, Kroger's, the whole nine yards. So they're taking a chance by doing this, because I wonder who supplies them their beef. Surely they found them another supplier before they did this. But specifically, Cargill, JBS, National Beef Packing, and Tyson Foods are named as defendants, along with several subsidiaries of it. The suit contends the defendants colluded to cut production and artificially constrain the supply of boxed and case-ready beef entering the supply chain to artificially inflate beef prices. The antitrust complaint notes that the Department of Justice and the USDA have launched investigations into whether defendants fixed beef prices, and the DOJ sent civil investigative demands to the Big Four seeking information about their pricing practices dating back to January of 2015. The suit also referenced a letter from 26 U.S. senators to the DOJ that stated, from our perspective, the anti-competitive practices occurring in the industry today are just either crazy and their antitrust laws are not being enforced, that's what I think is going on, or they're not capable of addressing the apparent apology of the plaint plainly exists. The letter also alleges the Big Four's collective power over the beef processing industry allows them to seemingly control prices at their will. Giant Eagle alleges antitrust practices by the Big Four led to the shortages in the beef market. These artificial conditions, in turn, boosted the prices defendants charge, in which Giant Eagle had no choice but to buy the beef. The results intended and achieved by defendants with higher profit margin, meat margins, than would have been otherwise existed in a competitive market, and injury from damage to Giant Eagle's business and property. There you have it. It's just, it's going on. Let's see, what do we got here? Hey, Jimmy, will you post that fly spray mixture on the KECO page? I just caught the last part of it. Yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Yes, I will. Yes, sir, I will. I have planned to do that anyway. I'll get it done as soon as I get done. Talked to a guy from La Mesa, Texas. He had 1.25 inches of rain as of last week. Since July. Ouch. Anyway, yeah, we know, we feel their pain. We didn't have much in, here in Eastern Texas, Panhandle, Western Oklahoma until about 6 weeks ago. But we're getting it, and hopefully with prayers and everything, the guy in La Mesa, Texas, will get it. Anyway, you guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. 12 o'clock straight up. Tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
From Shamrock, Texas to Weatherford, Oklahoma, we are today.